When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello, welcome to Film Fandango, the film podcast. I'm David Reed. This is Danielle Ward.
Do you know what I like to call it?
What?
Film Fan Dan Go.
Okay.
Why are you going to call it that?
Mysterious. And that's Marit Larwood.
Oh, let me say that again. Why are you going to call it that?
Because this is my last Film Fan Dan Go. I'm leaving.
No.
What?
Yeah, this is Dan's last Film Fandango. She's going on to Pastors New, but Marek and I shall carry on the podcast.
I mean, we're going to another film podcast.
Probably still be here when you record them.
What film podcast are you going to go on to then?
I'd love to tell you it was Collins and McConey. No, they didn't do a thing. That's from years ago.
Dan, Dan, Dango.
Dan, Dan.
You going to work on movie muck-ups?
Yeah.
I love those guys, though.
I don't have time to commit fully to this podcast.
You are quite excitingly going to New York for a decent proportion of the tail end of this year.
Time, yeah, and then my Radio 4 series has been moved, so I've got to write that sooner than I thought I was going to. Something had to give, guys. Something had to give, and I'm afraid it was this.
Well, we'll be sad to see you go.
I mean, I'll still listen just as much as I do at the moment.
So
and see more films, possibly.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be really exciting to be able to go to the cinema for pleasure.
I don't know if I want to talk to you again.
Oh, well, you don't have to.
Well, we've got to try and do it for this episode.
Yeah,
oh, yeah, we've got this to get through.
Don't worry, guys, I'm not dying.
No, that crunching noise is just Buddy chewing on an antler.
Crack, cracking in the corner.
Crack, crack.
Hang on, it is an antler.
Yeah.
What's going on here?
Really good for his teeth.
Yeah, but it's not very good for the deer, is it?
Well, the deer's not missing it.
They just leftover antlers, they're not from shooting bits, are they?
No, they're leftovers.
No, they catch the deer just for the dog antler.
Oh, that's quite nice.
Release it back into the sea.
Is it from a deer? What is it from? Is it narwhal?
It's a unicorn. Yeah, it's a unicorn's one. He previously had, you know, just a tusk, an ivory tusk, but we thought they're quite expensive.
So if you watch the start of TriStar...
Yeah.
Oh, that's a Pegasus.
With the Pegasus. It used to be a unicorn.
Thanks to Buddy.
Yeah. Well, let's commence Danielle's last Film Fandango.
I'm not seeing the film we're about to talk about.
Way to hold up your end of the bargain.
But look, you can see this film, and we should really have pointed out in the previous podcast, but you can watch this film on YouTube for free. The Australian Film Commission's put it on there. I'm not sure if it's legal or not. Just put in Wake-In-Fright into YouTube, and you can watch the entire film for free.
I say it does sound brilliant.
The film is Wake in Fright, if you hadn't got that from Margaret's
thing. Tell me about it. I love Australian films. Australian films scare me. Picnic at Hanging Rock scared
me.
Well,
this is from that...
Walkabout scared me.
This is from that archetypical period of Australian weird, creepy cinema that they call Australian New Wave. And it's got that sunny creep that we've talked about before in Australian films.
Not like Wolf Creek, though.
Not like Wolf Creek at all, mate.
I fast forwarded to that where he rips a spine out. That bit's good.
There's no spine ripping in his film.
This film,
you little ripper.
This film went missing for a long time, and it wasn't released on.
Was it in the VHS? Walkabout?
Or it had gone walkabout, mate.
It's gone. Oh, where's the film? It's gone walk.
It was here a moment ago, and now it's gone.
Oh, it's just there. It's behind. It's behind Crocodile Dundee. I put it in the wrong case. But I hadn't watched Crocodile Dundee. That's what happened. I hadn't watched Crocodile
That's
Dundee.
That's what happens
too.
When you've got so many copies of Crocodile Dundee, mate. You'll lose your other films. Your Greg Gallar. Yes, it went missing for a long, long time. It wasn't until 2009, I think, they found it. They tracked it down to Pittsburgh, where it was in a box marked to be destroyed. Also, like, it's as dramatic as that. And it's a highly celebrated piece of Australian cinema. And
along with, in the box is also Shergar and Ben Miller.
Yeah.
Glenn Miller, not him, sorry. Not Ben Miller.
No, he was in there, but that was coincidence. No,
but I thought he meant Ben Miller. No, I should have said that.
That was very weird. but this film, it's been restored and released for free, which is very exciting. So yes, track it down. It's on YouTube. But Wake in Fright, based on a book, same name. It was originally premiered in Cannes, I think, under the name Outback. And it tells the story of a school teacher travelling on his holidays to an incredibly remote part of Australia.
He's trying to get to Sydney to visit his beautiful girlfriend, who he keeps on dreaming of in these sort of flashback sequences.
Mm. But he ends up in this tiny dead-end town, and with nothing to do but... It's a bit weird and sort of claustrophobic, and he ends up getting drunk and gambling all of his money, so he's trapped there. And it's sort of what happens to him, but it's a sort of, and he meets a series of different people and different encounters, but the most amazing of them being Donald Pleasance as an alcoholic doctor who lives without earning any money. He gives medical advice to the town for free, and in return they give him small amounts of food and booze.
Sorry, buddy's been really noisy.
I'll take his antler off him.
I thought we could let him chew it. I just thought we could have it in the... I should explain it, otherwise people are going to think they'll probably assume that I'm chewing on some sort of bone.
Out of everyone, they would think it was you.
Yeah.
That's the setup. And it's sort of, it felt to me like, actually, did you go and see The Rum Diaries? I forget if that was before
no,
your time.
I went to see that.
I have seen a bit of it. It's the, what's his name, the reporter?
It's
Hunter S. Thompson. Yeah. It's Bruce Robinson's film. But it felt like Bruce Robinson had seen... Wake in Fright. But anyway, what did you think of it?
I tried to write down, I saw it a few days ago, and as I said to you before we started the podcast, it's one of those, it's a stay of this one.
It haunts you, mate.
Yeah, you watch this film and you think, oh, I'll just watch this film, I won't think of it anymore, but I won't let go. This film won't let go. I think it is... The best way for me to describe it, it's the closest film to that nightmare you have when you're trying to run, but you're running really, really slowly, and you're stuck in the same place, and wherever's the danger is coming towards you.
Yes.
And it's sort of, you don't feel scared, but you sort of feel in that weird, sort of dreamy, stuck sense.
Sort of treacly, can't move, sort of.
You can't
thing.
Have.
Yeah.
In those dreams, do you ever try and dial a phone number and you can't get the number right?
And your brain's saying to do something and your body's saying the opposite thing.
Yeah, and you try and shout and you can't do it. But for me, trying to dial a number on a phone is always, I just can't, it's always wrong whenever I punch it in.
Well, the closest I've had to that feeling is when I went travelling when I was about 18, 19, and I was in the Sinai in this place, and I got dysentery.
Sinai Peninsula in Egypt.
Yeah, and I was lying there in this crappy hut with flies all over my face, and I just felt really stuck and powerless.
The closest I've got is trying to put in my PIN code to pay for drinks whilst drunk.
Is that sort of feeling?
It is, where you put in 6 digits, but you didn't mean to.
Really, that frustration you only get in dreams, and I thought this captured it really, really well.
Yeah, it did.
Completely different to whereas all the films coming out now, I've said this before, this year, the action films are the same. This is completely different to. I don't know if it would get this. This film wouldn't really get this released now, would it? I don't think it would.
I think it's too slow paced to get released now. Certainly, it's brutal. in terms of its satire of Australian culture. And I read an anecdote that said when it was screened, somebody actually shouted out, you know, stood up and said, "That's not who we are." And it was in a screening, and I think the director shouted back, "Yes, it is."
So it insinuates that they force you go to a pub, everyone forces you to have a drink, and you just get drunk and gamble away all your money.
And they have no morality other than, you know, they don't get bothered by anyone doing anything other than not having a drink with you.
That camaraderie is the most important thing above anything.
Yeah,
else.
more than ethics. Yeah, yeah.
I really love Australian cinema, though.
It's. I mean, I think it's great stuff. Like, you know, like Mad Max and stuff like that. That's American, isn't it?
Yep. Yeah, well, no, Mad Max is Australian. Ozploitation, they call it, it's exploitation of cultural kind of norms and stuff.
It had that walkabout feel to it. You know, that sort of that. There's a weird feel some Australian films have got, whether it's the colours, whether it's the huge blue skies and the sort of the feel of the outback that makes it feel strange.
I think the weird thing about the thing that always gets to me with Australian films when they have that sort of hue to them is that it's not like seeing a tundra where you think, oh, if I was out in the snow, I wouldn't know what to do. This is, in many ways, a sort of, you know, lovely clear sky, trees around you, a bit of dirt, but knowing that if you were in that environment, you would probably die. I think that's what always gets to me, is the idea that it looks familiar but unfamiliar, and knowing that if I was stuck in the outback, I would actually die because I wouldn't know how to take care of myself. I think that's what gives you that weird sense of unease, is the familiarity and also the fear of not being able to take care of yourself.
I think the main guy in this, is it
the teacher?
Gary Bond?
Yeah.
He's an English actor, actually. Yeah. And he was... his first film was he played one of the privates, tiny role in Zulu. But and then he's mostly done British telly after this. But he was the guy who played Joseph in the London production of Joseph and His Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat.
Ah.
But I think he plays it brilliantly. And it's also got... the guy who has to be in all Australian films, apparently, who plays Wally in Crocodile Dundee, who's the barman at the beginning, and also the father in Outbreak. Outbreak? Walkabout. Outbreak. Outbreak is not an Australian film.
The monkey.
The monkey. No, he doesn't play him. All right, Wall. Yeah.
What do you think of Donald Pleasance?
I love Donald Pleasance. I think he's so sort of... You can't tell he's acting in this, and it's such a big performance as well.
I think he's remarkable.
He is, isn't he? He's so good.
He's really magnetic to watch. I just really enjoyed whenever he was on screen. You had to watch him. He's a really interesting character.
Some fantastic drunk acting as well. You know, which a thing about it, because it's only alcohol basically is what their opiate in this that sort of sends them into this dream world.
It really does that thing of alcoholism quite. Unlike any other film, you really feel the excess of it and people drinking and losing control, and you feel the hangover. You can sort of imagine the hangovers of the characters.
But the social shame placed upon you by not entering into that. And it is really interesting.
I might watch it on my netbook later while I go to the toilet.
But it's got one...
In one of your famous 1 hour 40 poos.
Oh, is that when you stand up at the end?
The famous scene in it we should talk about, because it is unlike anything I've seen in cinema.
Yeah, even when they start it in the car, in the car.
There is a famous scene in it, and it is harrowing. And it is where drunkenly four of them, including Gary Bond's character, the teacher, and Donald Pleasance's doctor, alcoholic, just drive out into the bush in the dark. And go and chase and shoot kangaroos. They go kangaroo hunting, basically, but whilst drunk and rowdy. And it is horrific, because what they did was the crew genuinely went on a kangaroo hunt with some people who were doing it. They just went, and like a documentary crew, and shot what they were doing. So these are real animals being brutalised and hurt, and it is horrible.
Do you think this film... and probably, because obviously there's a lot of talk about the animals being brutalised in Cannibal Holocaust as well. Do you think that's why now they have the No Animals Were Harmed in the making of this?
Well, interestingly, and I think, Marek, you've got a copy there, the end of this film, they have an explanation of that scene, because you don't know if it's real or not. I was watching it going, are they just blow-darting them and then adding sound effects? Well, but then after a while, that can't be what they're doing.
Yeah, I thought that at the start. Yeah. Then you actually think, God, these are genuinely animals being shot, because you cannot ever replicate that movement of it. And you think, I thought this is, wow, they're...
Yeah. Have you got the disclaimer there?
No, I haven't got it. Did I write it down? Well, I just got they explain it's a kangaroo hunt. So it's really odd watching that thing and seeing these animals get shot. But as well, some scenes with the kangaroos, I think because the kangaroos are so big and sort of a bit more humanoid than a lot of other animals. So it just seems like they're killing shooting people. Sort of... And our idea of kangaroos is... They feel like sort of alien humans they're shooting for points.
Oh.
This is... I've found it. I found the disclaimer, I suppose you'd call it, at the end, which is... Photography of the hunting scenes in this film took place during an actual kangaroo hunt conducted by licensed professional hunters. No kangaroos were expressly killed for this motion picture. Because the survival of the Australian kangaroo is seriously threatened, these scenes were included with approval of leading animal welfare organisations in Australia and the United Kingdom. So,
but apparently, according to Wikipedia,
yeah.
we read, they were, the people, the hunters, were just getting... progressively more pissed.
Yeah, bit just similar to the actual exactly like the thing. And the film crew, the director actually threw up at one point. And
because he was drunk, or because of the
kangaroos? because he found it so horrible. And
a bit of both.
A bit of both. But the crew apparently, again, according to this Wikipedia article, but the crew then faked a blackout of all of their lights to end the hunt because they found it so harrowing.
Mm.
Yeah, it's really odd watching that. I don't know if I enjoyed watching the film.
No.
How many, David, do you want to say anything else about it?
So difficult to tell, but I mean, it is.
You've made it sound brilliant. I really want to watch it.
Oh, it's a really interesting film. I mean,
it's very, very slow.
It's a slow burn. It's a real slow burn. I mean, that's what I'd say about Walkabout as well. Really slow.
But I love Walkabout, you see. I don't mind. Slow and tense is all right by me.
I love Donald Pleasance. It made me just want to watch him more.
Yeah. It's sort of tragic. He's probably most famous as Blofeld in You Only Live Twice. I think he's brilliant at it, but he's properly panto camp villain. Mm. But then The Great Escape as the Forger.
He's in Halloween, isn't he?
As the psychiatrist.
Deathline, which is the film that Creep is based on.
And he's in Bumming Man.
You just got to ruin it, haven't you?
You have to add bumming to everything.
I talked about it a couple of weeks ago. I fancy talking about it again.
This is why I'm leaving.
Marek's continual bum chat.
Yeah.
No, it's interesting, actually. Donald Pleasance. I sort of watch anything he's in. I'm just looking him up now. Of course, he plays the president in Escape from New York.
Oh.
Not seen it.
Have you not?
Great film.
It sort of is. The sequel is less strong.
I can get mixed up with that and Big Trouble in Little China, actually.
That's a better film. That's a far better film.
I would give it 6 Mareks.
No.
And I think if one of those that could get more... I think it stays with you, though, so it feels like it should have more. I don't know. I don't know what's going on.
Maybe you'll regrade it in a few weeks.
Yeah, I've got a quote from Nick Cave.
I'd give it 7.
Who said it's the best and most terrifying film about Australia in existence.
So he, by the sounds, gives it 10 nicks.
Yeah.
Or does he give it 10 caves?
10 nicks, 9 caves.
It's not that generous. He's got to hold something back. He's an artist.
Yeah.
What would you give it, David?
7, I think. 7. Oh. 7.5, maybe.
Let's read an email.
Emails, letters, tweets, messages. Here's one.
I don't know what I'm doing anymore. Exeter. That's kind of West ways. Dear buddy Daniel, Mark and David. Oh, could you please read this out in a Geordie Swedish accent?
Yeah, do that. Aha, you picked up the wrong one there.
Newcastle upon Tyne, Swedish. Oh, no.
Swedish.
Please, could you read this out in a Geordie Swedish accent? No, that wasn't really good.
That's quite good.
Do Cheryl Cole doing an impression of Swedish chef.
Please, could you read this out in a Geordie Swedish accent?
That's good.
Not because I'm from either of those, please, Dad.
Yeah, we're doing well.
But I think it was out of me, Dan. Your podcast has brought joy to my joyless commute to work. Aye, aye. Thank you.
Focus so hard on Danielle's voices.
A few weeks ago, you read out an email from Adam asking for your favourite film friends. Mine would be R2D2 and C3PO. I just wanted to write because Adam, my good friend, is currently recovering from brain surgery and is doing amazingly. I wanted to cheer him on via his favourite podcast and ask a pertinent question. If you were recovering for an extended time period from Insert Problem Here, what franchises would you bring back? Would you watch back to back? Thank you. Best wishes, Tim Exeter.
Thanks, Tim. I had no idea Sarah Millican was part Swedish. Thank you, Tim. And Adam, I hope you get well soon.
Yes, get well soon.
Get well soon, Adam.
Well, best movie friends there. R2D2 and C3PO. Aren't they good friends?
But no, one of them isn't even real. One of them's just a bin, isn't it?
No. What? What, one is a robot and the other's a bin? Is that what you took from the Star Wars franchise? They're both robots.
I think that's fair.
One is a Nazi bin and the other one's a robot.
Yeah.
Oh, that's wonderful. But the novelty bin ends up being sort of more useful to them.
Well, yeah, because they want to throw stuff away.
Yeah, when he's in his X-Wing, the last thing he wants in the middle of the dogfight is to not have a bin.
Everyone needs a bin.
If it's Leia's time of the month, got to put them somewhere.
Yeah, I think the fourth question you ask when entering someone's house is, where's the bin?
Oh, are you saying R2-D2 is a sanitary towel bin?
I'm saying you could put anything in him and he's happy.
I thought she was putting a data disc in at the beginning of the film. Was it just a dirty tampon?
That's how they store their data in the future.
Oh, it sounds very complicated. Yes.
If you were ill and you had to watch a franchise back to back, what would you choose?
Oh, a long one, I think, for my long recovery. But I'd want a franchise where they're all good, you know, or they sort of...
Never going to happen.
That's what's quite difficult. I think I would go for a certain style.
Okay.
I would go for films, uplifting films. So I think I would go for... You always go for your childlike things you like, so I'd go for animated things. So any animated film, i.e. Warship Down, Flight of Dragons,
yeah.
Good Disney ones. Sword in the Stone, I think, is always a very good one.
Yeah.
And what other cartoons have I enjoyed?
Disney Robin Hood.
Yeah, Robin Hood is very good.
Brilliant.
I think Sword in the Stone's better. That there, yeah, 101 Dalmatians are quite a lot.
Peach Dragon, Aristocats.
Don't like those ones.
I want to see the Aristocats at the cinema.
I think I would probably pick the canon of a director. So maybe one that haven't seen all of his films, actually, and there's plenty of gaps I'd like to catch up on. So maybe Akira Kurosawa, watch sort of his samurai films all in one go.
That's not very uplifting, though, is it?
I don't know. They're quite good. Have you seen any of them?
Maybe he's in hospital for being too happy.
The Seventh...
Happens a lot.
Did he do the Seventh... What's it called?
Seven Samurai.
Did he do... Yeah. Who did the Shogun's Assassin?
The Magnificent Seven is a remake of it.
Yes.
Did he do the Shogun's Assassin? I've seen that.
Who did that? Yeah. And... Yojimbo and Rashomon and The Hidden Fortress. And...
Did you do the Maltese adverts?
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
I would watch...
With the two girls at the strip club.
I would probably work my way through the BFI's top 100 films list like a boring person.
We're kind of cheating the question, though, aren't we? Because we're not picking franchises.
Back to the future, then. How about that?
If I couldn't do a BFI...
Bond's an obvious one, is it? Sorry, Dan.
If I couldn't do the... Wonder why I'm leaving. If I couldn't do the BFI list, I would do classic novels. So I wouldn't have to read them, you see. So I'd do Wuthering Heights, Little Women.
Bud doesn't like that idea.
Oh, no. He's very disappointed.
Very disappointed by Wuthering Heights.
I very much enjoyed the Orson Welles version of Jane Eyre. I've watched all them films.
That's a good idea.
All those ones. All those lovely black and white films. I started watching The Big Sleep the other day, but I actually fell asleep during it.
I'd watch all 400... productions of Great Expectations back to back. Every Great Expectation that's ever been.
That'd be good.
Including Gary Bond from Waking Fright's Great Expectations made for TV.
Assuming that I was only in for a small amount of time, I'd probably watch the Muppet movies.
Mm. Yes, that's a good shout. That's a good shout.
I forgot a fact about Waking Fright.
What's that?
That the director, I wrote this down, directed by Ted Kotcheff.
Yeah.
He went on to direct Weekend at Bernie's.
No.
And you can't really have two more disparate films.
What, the classic of Australian New Wave, Weekend at Bernie's?
I love Weekend at Bernie's, though. It's great.
I love Weekend at Bernie's, too.
Nice one.
Thanks.
That's a joke from one of my music.
I know, I stole it from... Dad wrote that joke for me some years ago. No, I was going to say that the writer of... who adapted it from the novel... Waking Fright, also wrote Escape to Victory. So we've got the writer of Escape to Victory with the director of Weekend at Bernie's somehow produces this incredibly sort of...
People are very interesting.
Versatile, aren't they?
That's the word. There's a letter there. Do you want to read the letter?
Yes, I will. This is from Brian Sear. I was wondering if any of you have come across a remake that was better than the original. The only one that springs to my mind is John Carpenter's The Thing, which was based on The Thing from Another World, a 1951 B-movie, but still quite good for its time. So, I did it in the voice of Alan Rickman. But...
That was a fantastic voice.
Thanks.
It went a bit Indian... In the middle.
I thought it went a bit Trevor McDonald.
Well, who knows? Who knows who made the robot? Yes, remakes better than the originals. They're a rare breed, but they do exist.
I have seen one. You may remember shouting because I've got the dogs falling asleep on me. But he doesn't seem to mind the fact that I'm shouting in his ear.
Yeah, that's all right.
You know how I went to see the film Maniac?
Yeah.
And I really liked it.
Mm.
So I watched the original Maniac because it was on one of them internet telly things. And it was rubbish. The original Maniac's terrible. The remake of Maniac is brilliant. So that is one.
I think there's a lot of films that we don't know are remakes because people have taken foreign films that did no business because they're a bit rubbish, but they have a good central idea. And just remade them. Like, Mark Wahlberg remade Contraband from a film he'd seen with the same director. But,
Girls, the series is pretty much, we talked about this before, a remake of Tiny Furniture, but better. It's been made into a series.
Yeah. There are those remakes out there that are better, though.
Dawn of the Dead. The remake, I prefer.
Tricky to call it, but I do really like the remake.
I prefer the remake.
I prefer it.
Yeah. It is. It's sort of.
It's funnier.
Yes, it's true. It is funny.
I like the remake of Evil Dead. It's called Evil Dead 2.
Yeah. The Thing you mentioned already, Brian. Absolutely, but there's more in that sort of B movie horror category, isn't there?
Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
The Fly is brilliant. I've not seen the original Mummy, but I imagine Brendan Fraser's The Mummy's probably. Potentially better. They're all quite slow.
Remake of Bedazzled.
No, that is not stronger. That is in no way stronger. Controversially, but I mentioned Akira Kurosawa, is Star Wars is a remake. George Lucas acknowledges, you know, his heavy, heavy debt to Akira Kurosawa's The Hidden Fortress, which is a samurai film about, you know, told from the point of view of two peasants who are comedians. One who is a peasant and the other who is a sanitary champion. So you can see the obvious parallels.
I remember when I was a cleaner. I was a cleaner when I was a teenager. Cleaning at one of those... they're the foreign exchange students. You know, they could come over, like the EF students come over at the school. And I was cleaning their room, their boardings up. And I knocked over a bin full of French... school kids' sanitary towels.
Oh.
It's horrible.
Mm.
No. That is the equivalent of how brutal that
when you
scene in Waking Fright is when they shoot the kangaroos.
When you knocked over the bin, did it go...
It did, actually.
There you go.
An image of Princess Leah came up.
And then it stuck a little sort of twirly metal thing into a hole in the wall.
Oh, I knew I'd seen that bin before somewhere.
Remake's better than the originals. A tough, yeah, I think you're right. I think it's mainly things that we don't know.
But also, I haven't seen the originals. That's it. You know, Scarface is a remake.
Yes, it is.
I haven't seen the original. I don't really like Scarface, but lots of people do. Ocean's 11. I've not seen the original one with.
Oh, actually, I think the Clooney one is better.
It's a great film. It's a great heist film, like pure fun. And also, I would say Casino Royale. It doesn't really work because the original's sort of a screwball comedy and is really weird, but they are based on the same book. But I think the Daniel Craig one's probably better.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I'm with your sister.
Yes.
Girlfriend.
Uh-huh.
Well.
Well, thanks for your letters.
Yeah, Dan, do you want to sign off?
Start your obituary this bit.
I've had a lovely time.
Do you want to talk about
going?
What your favourite films were you've seen since starting the podcast?
I think my favourite film since starting the podcast, I really loved Happiness that Margaret Cabell Smith brought in. That was just wonderful.
That was great.
I really enjoyed Headhunters, which I think was your choice, wasn't it?
I think you brought that in.
Was. Yeah.
That was great. In terms of films at the Cineflix, slim pickings. I bizarrely really enjoyed Safe and 21 Jump Street. I think I mentioned them in my roundups of the year. It's not been a great. Maybe this is why. If you'd have made better films in the past 18 months, maybe I'd have stuck around.
Do you hear that, America and Britain and Sweden and South Africa?
I can't live for Yogg. I can't. The highlight of my cinema going experience can't be the Yogg machine. It can't be.
I think what would have sustained Danielle Ward would be some properly decent horror films.
Yeah, not the Yogg. Oh, I hated the Evil Dead remake. That was awful. We were talking about that, weren't we? Terrible remakes. So I enjoyed those. I think they're the ones that really spring to mind.
World's Greatest Dad.
Oh my god, World's Greatest Dad, how could I forget? Yeah, that was absolutely brilliant as well.
Lizzie Roper brought that in.
Really, really loved World's Greatest Dad. So it's been good. I've had my eyes open to some really wonderful films. And I've still got access to the email account, so if you want to send us an email just to me. No, don't do that, it would be horrible. You sent me a horrible email, I don't want to read it. I don't even read feedback on eBay. So yeah, that's they're my film choices, I think.
What would you recommend people to watch if they were just like Alex Wishart, the 11-year-old listener, has got years of stuff ahead of him. What should he watch?
I think I might have covered most of my favourites. I still very much urge both of you to see the film Bad Timing, the Nicholas Rogue film with Art Garfunkel and Teresa Russell and Denham Elliott. That is brilliant, as is The Man Who Fell to Earth, another Nicholas Rogue film. As his performance, I think I quite like Nicholas Rogue, and Don't Look Now, I love Walkabout, obviously The Witches is great, so he's good. Harold and Maude is one of my favourite films ever, really love that. So many films, aren't there? There are so many films. I'm looking forward to watching it. It's on Netflix, I haven't seen it yet. I'm really looking forward to watching The Raid.
Yes.
I've heard this is great.
Really recommend The Raid.
I reckon The Raid's probably going to be my favourite film that I didn't get around to watching during Film Fandango.
It's going to be your biggest regret for about 3 days.
How can I forget Ghost Protocol? That was the best thing I saw whilst working on this podcast. By like so... Oh my God, like in the close.
Was it the first time you'd been to the IMAX?
Yes, it was.
Yes. There we go.
Oh, that's such a good film.
IMAX. Live cinema is alive and well.
I think I've said
this
before.
In the film Ghost Protocol.
When I go to the IMAX, it makes me want to cry because human ambition has reached such heights. Like I do.
And you can actually physically see the height.
For me, the IMAX is a bit like the Mars One project. It's just about endeavour. That's the only reason it exists, and I love it for that. And I might, maybe I'll go and see Man of Steel at the weekend. I think I'd rather go and see that fish film.
Fish film?
That fish film they have on at the IMAX all the time. Right, the tourists.
Really big fish or something.
Come and watch fish underwater.
Bombing man.
Stop promoting your own film.
So they were the films that I Ghost Protocol. We'll never see those days again.
Until Ghost Protocol 2. Well, thank you for listening to another Film Fandango. We will be back, by which I mean myself and Merrick Larwood. And Buddy, he'll still be here.
And I'll probably
chewing his bone noisily in the background. With more films. So if you'd like to get in touch, please do. Our email address is dearfilmfandango@gmail.com, or you can write on our Facebook wall, facebook.com/filmfandango, or merely tweet us @filmfandango.
And also, right at the end, I remembered a new feature which you can be a part of.
Yes.
We're giving you a chance to do your own one-minute review.
Yes, we are.
So you can send in to our website, to email address, dearfilmfandango@gmail.com. Just do a recording of it. I don't know how you're going to send it, like an MP3 or something.
Record it on your phone or send it as a whatever format you want. I'll work it out.
A one-minute audio review, and we'll pick the best one each week and review of something you've gone to see at the cinema. Because sometimes I get sick of listening to my own stupid voice.
And from the emails you send us already, so do a lot of other people. We'll be back next week. Keep watching the films. Bye.
Bye, Danielle.
Bye. 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 Goodbye. Bye. 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 Bye.